morning, Ottawa. This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Good Monday morning, 6:05. It's 12 degrees. And looking at a pretty decent week ahead based on what Chris just told us. So maybe we can start to get into our summer groove. I'm not quite there yet, although I'm kind of, you know, part of me is a little relieved. I'm a bit cheap, and I'm thinking not spending as much money on gas as we could be right now, taking the boat out. And I wonder how many people are just going to let their boats sit at the dock this year and not use them as much.
Yeah.
I see a summer of anchoring coming up. You're just sitting, having a little picnic with the kids in the middle of Mahogany Bay, anchor down so you don't end up washed over the little falls, you know, at the Manitic Mill. But, yeah, I see a lot more of that and a lot less. The boat's up on plane. Wow, isn't this fun, guys? Ding, ding,
just
ding.
Watching your money disappear. Wow.
Yeah, my son was filling up his little boat at the marina. And I called him and I said, so what does it cost at dockside for gas? What do you think he paid? Per liter.
Per liter? $2.20.
Yeah, $2.44. That's why a lot of people pull their boat out of the water and just go to the gas station with it.
Yeah.
Fill it up there. That's a lot. I have a buddy who just fills a gas can and then takes it to the boat.
Yep.
And just as you use the boat, you put a gas can in. But I'm always worried that I'm going to spill gasoline into the river. Which I know if you spilled a little bit in compared to the 100 years of we just dumped everything we didn't care into the river, I know it's not going to make a significant difference, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to spill gas into the river.
They also have those fancy pumps you can use too, though, right? You just put the hose into the canister, and it's almost like a gas pump right in your boat. I've seen those float. I've never used one, but I've seen those around.
Well, you could just use a little pump to get a siphon going.
Yeah, that's basically the idea, I guess.
But even then, there could be some.
No, I get it.
Plus, you're gonna have to take a big can to make a difference. Can't bring the little cans. Jerry cans, got to get a big jerry can, and you're dragging that thing down to the boat. And I know, first world problem, right?
Definitely.
But you think about all the things you buy gas for.
The lawnmower.
Good time to get an electric lawnmower.
Yeah,
I'm thinking. Right? I don't know if I'm ready to get an electric car based on how much they cost and how far they can go, but an electric lawnmower might make a lot of sense. A lot of sense to a lot of people right now. Not that electricity is all that cheap, but this LRT investigation inquiry is going to be really interesting to watch, isn't it? Really interesting. Starts with the train maker, Alstom, saying, you know what? The city knew the LRT wasn't ready, but they launched anyway. This is on them. Don't blame this on us. And we didn't have enough time to, because we were brought in at the last minute, we didn't have enough time to do it properly. And I don't know. I didn't hear them screaming very loudly. Don't open. Don't open. They're arguing behind the scenes that they thought it was a bad idea. Probably said so. But I didn't hear much public screaming. Did you, from the Rideau Transit Group or anybody else? No. We're not ready. So they're going to blame it on the city. The city's going to blame it on them. It's going to be expensive to get to the bottom of it, but it's going to be delicious. And I'd like to get to the bottom of it. I know some people just want to shrug it off now and move on. It is what it is. It's running pretty well now. Let's just move on. But we're building more. Let's not make the same mistakes again. Plus, let's figure out who knew what and who on that city council could have done a better job at asking questions, being tougher on this. Anyway, here's the shock of shocks. Turns out that sound I was complaining about many times, of the wheels squealing up against the tracks as they're making corners, turns out that's a bit of a problem. Yeah, Alstom says, it's an issue. The track is a little tight in places. That caused the axles to malfunction. Yeah, we needed to get that fixed. Wow. Who knew? You didn't have to be a genius, a train engineer, to figure out that that can't be right. You're driving your car, you hear a squeak, what do you think? Better see a mechanic. Maybe it just needs oil. You don't know. You're not the mechanic. But you don't just ignore it. At least most people don't. You're like, yeah, that's a troubling sound. What's that weird banging sound from my engine? I'll just keep driving. That's not what people do. So I always wondered about that. And then when they said, oh, we've improved that it's gotten better. Yeah, it's not quite as loud. It still sounds loud. And the answer can't be, let's just go really, really slow. Because that's not what you're looking for in rapid public transit. You know, it works really fine if you keep it down below about 10 kilometers an hour. It'll be great. Yeah, it'd also take me 5 hours to get to work. No. So you don't know that when you design the track. And I don't care the car maker, train car maker, we didn't have enough time. Then you should have said, don't put these cars out yet. They're not fully tested. We didn't have enough time to really design them. So yeah, going to be a lot of finger pointing. It's going to be good. This is not going to be so good next year when the kids go back to school after a couple of years of broken education. Four of the five major unions, education unions in the province, have taken the first steps to open up bargaining. Their contracts expire August 31st. That's nicely planned, isn't it? That these contracts drives me crazy every time. Just as school's about to start. They filed a notice of intent to bargain, but senior government sources say talks won't even start until early July. Karen Littlewood, president of the OSSTF, says she's expecting austerity-based proposals from the government, but she's aiming to ensure good working and living conditions for her members.
We'll be looking to have a properly funded education system going forward. We've also been severely restricted by Bill 124 and the inability to bargain anything above 1% as far as collective agreements and wage compensation.
They had a bomb scare on Parliament Hill on the weekend. It was kind of shut down for quite a few hours. I got texts from a couple of employees. I guess even if you're not at work, you're an employee, you work on Parliament Hill, you get these warnings from the Parliamentary Protective Bureau. And it told them to shelter in place and evacuate the building.
Okay, that's a...
Shelter in place and evacuate. Could we decide which one? How do you leave the building while sheltering in place? I figured out what it meant, though.
Okay.
Shelter in place and evacuate means hide under your desk and poop your pants.
Oh, that's gross.
Well, what else? You can't evacuate from the building.
No, those are mixed messages.
If you're sheltering in place. It looks like it was all based on a bad tip. So, false alarm. There was no one there anyway. It had to be, how many were like five people in those buildings?
Working at the time on a Saturday? Yeah, there's not a lot going on.
There aren't that many working there during the week these days. So, but apparently there was a tip and it included names and photographs and license plate numbers. So somebody, it was pretty elaborate hoax.
Jeez.
Somebody should get locked up for that, don't you think?
If you make
money
that up,
that costs, yeah. The way you scare people. Absolutely. CHEO says they had a weekend surge the weekend before this one, like no other. Now, they mentioned a number of reasons for it. Young people obviously showing up at an emergency than usual. COVID, flu, surgeries, and many other causes. Now, COVID maybe is just top of mind. I don't know why it's the first thing mentioned on that list, because I don't think that's the biggest reason. Now, a backlog maybe of people not showing up in the past because of COVID, sure. But it sounds like we've got a bit of a flu going around. And because we didn't have a lot of flus when we were all staying apart. But I checked CHEO's website this weekend, and you know how many patients they have right now or as of yesterday they had who were being treated just for COVID? Zero. They had four patients who are there for other reasons and also treated, also tested positive for COVID. But that's not primarily why they were there. So I don't know if it's COVID is the big reason, but there's a backlog in surgeries and other things. Anyway, it's not good either way. But a spring weekend like no other. Anybody ever been to CHEO on the weekend? It's hard to imagine it could be worse than what I've already seen there. but apparently it can be. 6:15, it's the Morning Rush. Good morning. We got to talk about a couple of different things here in the next segment. I'm an anti-smoking guy. I never smoked in my life. Not even one cigarette. Didn't seem wise for an asthmatic. I want to know why we think printing a warning on every single cigarette changes anything. Because I just don't think it does. You get to inhale more ink, I guess, of the cigarette, but yeah, who's stop? Whoa, this cigarette could kill me. Do you have one of those other packs where the individual cigarette doesn't kill me? Really? Is that how people think? Anyway, we'll talk about that coming up. 6:16, Morning Rush.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Am I having a COVID fog incident? Did I wake up in the 70s?
This goes back. I love this song.
It's very disco,
Some Lizzo. It's great. Yeah, it is. A little bit at the beginning there.
Let's hope it doesn't start something. We were doing this great online contest. Trip to the Montreal Jazz Festival. Two nights accommodation for two at the Centre Sheridan in downtown Montreal. Two tickets to the Jazz Festival. If you're into jazz. I don't know. Do you go to the Jazz Festival and you get there and it's some heavy metal band like the Blues Festival?
Is it like Blues Fest? I don't know, actually.
These things always start kind of niche and then they expand. I think the Montreal Jazz Festival is well known for a lot of jazz musicians. I think it's still pretty jazzy. Anyway, I don't care. Two nights in Montreal, hotel paid for, I'm in. Actually, I'm not because I wasn't eligible. But Scott Donnelly was, and congratulations to you, Scott Donnelly. You are the winner, and you're going to enjoy a great couple of nights in Montreal as the world gets to travel again.
I'm kind of jealous of Scott.
And you don't even have to go through an airport.
No.
Which you want to avoid at all costs right now. So, do you quit smoking because every cigarette now warns you that it's dangerous? It's a proposed new policy. Graphic photo warnings on tobacco products have been a thing for a while. Look, overall, cigarette smoking did go down. Is it because of the warnings and the graphic? Is it because we had stores hide them behind steel bars? Didn't it make your local grocery store look terrible, though, by the way? Like your little
it looks milk? Awful.
Right, it always felt like, wow, everything is locked up in there. I felt like I was in a very dangerous neighborhood, some inner city in Detroit or something, because they were all locked up. Since they're locked up, anyway, could you put them out of sight? I don't want to see that locked up.
They tried to tape the lottery receipts to the back to make it look a little nicer.
And it just looked worse. Anyway, so maybe all of that stuff added up. I don't know. I've never been a smoker. I feel like it might be a little like the caloric warnings at a fast food restaurant. I remember saying, that's not going to change anything. If I want a cheeseburger, I'm going to have a cheeseburger. If I want a milkshake, I'm going to have a milkshake. But that's not actually true. I'm in the drive-thru at a fast food place and I look and go, 800 calories. No, I'm not having that. It does have an impact. But if you have to take the cigarette out of a pack that already has a warning on it, does it make sense to have another warning repeated on the individual cigarette? I don't know. I don't feel like it does, but the addictions minister, yes, that's a thing. Carolyn Bennett says the measure is meant to reach more people, including youth, who often share cigarettes and don't encounter the packaging.
We need to address the concern that these messages may have lost their novelty. And to an extent, we worry they could have lost their impact as well.
She announced proposed regulations this week, saying they would help the government reach the goal of reducing the portion of Canadians who smoke to just 5%.
Adding health warnings on individual tobacco products will help ensure that these essential messages reach people, including the youth, who often access cigarettes one at a time in social situations, sidestepping the information printed on a package.
You think they don't already know that, though? I don't know. You're hanging out with your buddies. You're trying to be cool to be one of the gang. They offer you your first cigarette. You're like, yeah, I think I'll try that. Hand me one. They go, what does this say? Wow, cigarettes can kill you. Take that back, Joe. I won't. I don't know. I really don't.
I don't know either. I don't think it hurts to try it.
But no, I mean, I don't care one way or the other. If they want to put an individual warning on, have at it. I just don't know how successful it will be. But I'm not going to sit here and argue against it and say, this must stop. You've taken away my freedom. What about my freedom?
I'll admit I sort of rolled my eyes.
You rolled your eyes at the freedom part?
No, when I saw that, when I saw they were adding it to every cigarette, I was just like, yeah, okay, sure.
Well, I rolled my eyes more in the, I think that's kind of stupid. You want to stop kids from smoking, you know how you do it? I haven't done the research on this. I just live my life and I have teenagers. You know how you do it? You make it harder to vape. Because kids are now starting with vaping. This is the pattern I'm now seeing. They start vaping without nicotine. Because it's just harmless flavored. Ooh, it's cherry flavored. It's tastes like bubble gum, right? And I'm vaping bubble gum. It's no big deal. And then they're like, oh, you should try with a little nicotine. Like, you get a little buzz. It's really cool. So, but it's still just vaping. Which is, by the way, it's just water vapor. Okay, so drowning then is what you're saying. I'm not a medical doctor, but you're inhaling just like humid air. It's a little more than just it's humid outside. But okay, so you're slowly drowning yourself with a flavored product, and the flavor's a chemical, and that's going into your lungs, and it's not, you know, you're supposed to eat flavors, not inhale them. But they start out doing that, and then a little bit of nicotine, and then a little bit more nicotine, then they're addicted to nicotine, and what do? You know, it's cheaper to smoke. Then they switch to cigarettes. That, to me, is a bigger problem right now, but have at it. Put the individual warnings on individual cigarettes if you want. One of our listeners wants to know if they're going to put them on rolling papers too.
Good question.
No, I'm using the rolling papers for perfectly legal, legitimate marijuana use. Which, by the way, like you're still inhaling burned substances. Still not good for your lungs. Still carcinogenic. Would you light a fire in the backyard and just inhale the smoke? The whole time coughing away. That coughing tells you your body doesn't want it. 6:29, it's the Morning Rush. Good morning, I'm Bill Carroll.
And now, Bill's best binges.
I'm already cooked.
What will you be watching?
As we move into summer, maybe binging isn't going to be your thing. Maybe you'll have time to watch a show or two on the weekend or one or two shows during the week on a night where the weather's not great or whatever. So I got a great combination here. I have a show whose season 3 just started. Episode 1 is already out, but it's going to be released every week. Now, there are two other episodes that you could binge watch if you want to catch up. Or watch a couple of episodes a week, and by the time you get to season 3, they'll all be available. Either way, this show is on Apple TV Plus, and it's described in the USA Today as the best show on television right now. Here it is.
There's a primal urge in all of us to explore.
Some say private citizens have no business in space exploration. I emphatically disagree.
We have a historic opportunity. The first mission to Mars.
NASA's joining Helios and the Soviets.
A three-way race to Mars.
We're not going to come in second place again to anyone.
We're talking about discovering life on another planet. It'll change our concept of who we are, where we're going.
So, yes, it's a science fiction series, technically. But it's more than just that. It's family drama. There's politics involved. One of the main characters is running for public office. It can be funny even at times. So there's a lot to this. But my favorite part is the alternate history part of it. So the premise is, what if Russia got to the moon ahead of the U.S.? Nobody got to the moon, Bill. It's all a conspiracy. No, okay, but back to actual fiction. What if the Soviet Union got there first? How would that have impacted on everything that follows. Does the Soviet Union fall apart like it did? Is the Soviet Union a greater world power? What happens to the United States? What happens to the promise of John F. Kennedy? We do these things not because they're easy, but because they are hard, right? He's going to get to the moon first. What happens if none of that happens and it changes the entire timeline? So I love it that it's like, I'll give you an example. Season 3 opens with a news collage because it takes place 10 years after the end of season 2. 10 years have passed. All the characters have aged a little bit. There are a couple of wigs that are not very convincing. I'm not going to lie, but it's 10 years later. So to catch you up on those 10 years, they show you these news bites and they use actual clips of Bill Clinton and other well-known political figures, but they may edit in a word, right? So you'll have Bill Clinton saying, our country will succeed on the backs of technology that will, but they'll put in a, so they find another soundbite of him saying space. So on the backs of space technology. So space, rather than, you know, they build the shuttle program, we stop going to the moon, we put up satellites. Eventually, they don't even renew the NASA shuttle program. Private industry gets involved. No, they build bases on the moon. They find useful elements on the moon that they can use for the trip to Mars. They build a hotel in orbit, and people can get married and spend their honeymoon in this. And all of it by the 90s, which technically is not outrageously impossible. But it's the way they thread the alternate reality with the existing figures in history I just find fascinating. This author in USA Today did a deep dive, and he said, you know, they've really tied it together well. They make it very plausible. There's a lot of logic to it. They've tried to make sure they didn't miss any little obvious things about, well, that couldn't happen. I'll give you an example. In this timeline, John Lennon was not killed in New York.
Oh, interesting.
So one of the things they open in the news collage, the Beatles reunion tour is underway. That would have been worth seeing. I might have gone to that in the 90s.
Yeah.
So it's fun, it's entertaining, and at times it can be filled with action. There are great action moments, and the special effects are more than good enough to make you feel like that astronaut's actually doing a spacewalk. They've spent the money on it. So
you've got
great
me,
show.
You've got me thinking, though. I know I've seen season one. You said this is season 3, though?
Season 3.
I don't think I saw 2. So I've got a lot of watching to do because I really like season 1. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, you got some binge watching to do.
Okay.
The only thing is, Sylvie doesn't like there's a storyline of a mom. It's a bit of a spoiler alert, so give me 10 seconds here. Turn off if you don't want to hear.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Story of an older woman who has an affair with her dead son's best friend.
Okay.
She found it too creepy. And that character is expanded as in season 3. I've only seen the first episode because that's all that's out. And if they spend too much time on that, and the author in USA Today seems to have seen more episodes than I have, says it does become a big part of the storyline. The author didn't like it either. Not any more than she did. It didn't bother me as much as it did her, but it did feel kind of unnecessary.
Okay.
So For All Mankind, Apple TV Plus.
And it's every Friday, new episode.
Yep.
So you're good there. All right, I am watching a show that I think is hilarious. I think you should watch it, but I'm just going to preface it now, even before you play the clip. It's incredibly stupid. It's called Shorzy.
Sales pitch.
It's called Shorzy, and it's on Crave.
Who is the dirtiest player of all time?
I covered the National Senior Championship a couple of years ago. Lady, gents, the dirtiest player by far of all time is a dude called
Shorzy.
Who?
Shorzy.
Him.
Shorzy. Yeah, I watched the coverage of that National Senior Championship. If he's that dirty all the time.
Like how dirty?
Well, he's gonna get you. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't even have to be on the ice.
So he's a pest.
Well, with pests, they always say you'd love them if they were on your team, but no.
No, you'd still hate him. Shorzy, character in Letterkenny, which you didn't have to watch this show. I watched a few episodes of Letterkenny. Don't love it. Shorzy moves to my hometown of Sudbury, Ontario to play for the fictional Sudbury Bulldogs Senior A hockey team. And they're terrible. And he says, we're going to win the league.
The Sudbury Bulldogs?
The Sudbury Bulldogs, where they play
so
against...
So when they score a goal, does a dead bulldog go across the roof of the arena?
No, but they use the same arena. They just don't show the roof, so you don't see the wolf.
It's actually shot in Sudbury.
It's shot in Sudbury. They didn't change anything. They didn't even change the arena board, so it's ads for like local construction companies. They didn't change the name of the restaurants. Tons of swearing. It's very dirty. Don't say I didn't warn you, but I laughed through every episode because it's so dumb I found it funny.
Up front, I'll admit that acting, even some of the best actors in the world, when you hear the soundbite on radio, they sound like they're acting.
Right.
In a way you don't notice when you're watching. But that sounds like terrible acting.
Yeah,
that
but those are just those are just TSN people that they got to do because it's a Bell production part of it. Those weren't actors in the show.
But they're in the show?
That's basically the opening scene, and then they're not back for the rest of the show.
Oh, okay, good.
So, yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Phew.
That basically is the opening scene, but then those people don't come back, so you're good.
So it's just their shortcut way of introducing the character.
Exactly.
They should have found a longer
way. So, very funny. Very inappropriate to the point where the jokes were actually making me laugh because they were so uncomfortable. Don't say I didn't warn you that it's vulgar and that it's pretty dumb. But it's on Crave and it's CanCon, shot right here in my hometown of Sudbury.
I think maybe you're a little homesick.
No, it's not that. It's because everybody's talking about this right now with Crave. It's massive on social media. I'm like, okay, I've got to watch this.
I will give it a try.
Dumber than they said. I know you're going to hate it. Don't say I didn't warn you.
The Morning Rush. Oh, good morning. I'm Bill Carroll. He's Matt Harris. Don't listen to the thing he says.
Tell me straight, Doc. What is it?
Medical myth busting with Dr. Barry Dworkin.
It is from this virus that attacks the nerve in my ear, my facial nerves, and has caused my face to have paralysis.
Justin Bieber making all those people last week who were angry that he canceled the show feel pretty stupid. He's got a real issue, and the video is not pretty to watch, a little bit scary. Says he has something called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. I'm sure he didn't come up with that on Dr. Google. I assume that he saw a real doctor who told him that that's what's going on. And we got our real doctor on the line right now, Dr. Barry Dworkin. Good morning.
Morning, Bill.
What is Ramsey-Hunt syndrome?
Ramsey-Hunt syndrome is a complication of shingles. Same virus called herpes zoster. And in this case, it's a complication of shingles that affects the nerves that supply hearing. So you can get hearing loss, hearing and facial muscle use. It can also affect taste as well and can cause dizziness and vertigo. But it's a reactivation. He likely had chickenpox as a child. And as a result, it's a reactivation of the virus. And unfortunately, in this rare circumstance, the virus came out on the nerves that supply, within the ear. They can get, you get that rash on the outside of the body. Well, in this case, they get the vesicles inside the ear canal itself. And ooh, they have, it's really painful. They get facial paralysis and also it can affect your hearing. So whether you recover from that is wholly dependent on several factors. One is age is a factor, but also how soon after the symptoms occur are you treating it. And usually if you get this within the first 3 days of this happening, just like with shingles, you have less severe disease, not necessarily curative. You can have permanent damage afterwards. And if you treat it 3 days after that, the prognosis is a bit worse, you know, because the virus has had a chance to fully replicate and cause damage. So that's what this is. It is a complication of what we call the herpes zoster virus. It's the same virus that causes shingles.
How do you know, though, early on? If you want early treatment, you have to recognize that something's going on. Would it cause pain fast enough that you'd get help?
That's the problem. Just like shingles, people will see a rash that starts to come out and they ignore it because it doesn't look very, very big. And then, 3 days go by and all of a sudden it's a lot worse. So recognition of that is really the only way of detecting it and treating it early. But the problem is that a lot of people haven't heard of this because it's very rare. And as a result, they may, you know, they get ear pain. They go, I'm getting a bit of an earache. Maybe it's my jaw, maybe, you know. And so they wait. And I don't know how long he waited before getting treated. But it's difficult to, you know, for people to keep tabs and say, oh, this is potentially Ramsey Hunt or a complication of shingles. Very difficult for anybody to actually make that diagnosis early on because you don't really see too much, right? You don't see the rash. You just see a pain syndrome that starts to happen. And the difficulty, with this case, the facial paralysis, which can also mimic another condition called Bell's palsy. And that's treated a bit differently. So it can be very difficult. You know, you can't blame anybody in this case to say, why didn't you recognize this, you know, early, the person suffering with it or the physician evaluating it, because it is a very rare condition. And his age also.
Is it possible that his current condition, may not get better? That may be as good as it gets for him?
So that's one of the worries that that everybody has with regards to this condition, is that you don't know how much recovery you're going to have. Some people have permanent damage afterwards. The facial paralysis doesn't necessarily go away. The hearing problems don't necessarily go away. So that is part of the issue. And there's no way to determine outcome. You treat. A lot of times, if it's really severe, you use intravenous antiviral medications to treat it. Otherwise, you use oral medications just like you would for shingles. And you hope for the best. That's really all you can do. There's no way to alter the course of it if it's already past that 3 days. And if it's before the 3 days, well, then you're going, okay, at least they're interfering with it. And hopefully it won't be as severe and you'll recover as completely as possible. But there's unfortunately no guarantees that that's actually the case.
Would the shingles vaccine have helped this?
Probably not. In his case, he's 26 years old. So it wouldn't even be considered at that time. Shingles is rare. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I've seen it in very young individuals. It is rare. It tends to be reactivated or activated by something. Usually, you know, it's a suppression of an immune system or something that allows the virus to replicate. But shingles vaccine, no evidence that that would have done anything, if only because his age. I mean, the standard indications for shingles vaccine is over the age of 50. So unknown whether that would have provided him with any benefit or not. Especially at age 26, you would expect someone at age 26 to have high antibody titers to protect them.
Well, let's hope he gets better. Poor guy. That looks painful and not pleasant to live with.
No, it's not pleasant at all.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that to us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bill.
Dr. Barry Dworkin with Medical Myth Busting, host of Sunday House Call, Sunday afternoons at 3, right here on News Talk 580. CFRA.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Okay, getting a lot of texts about Shoresy, which Matt recommended for binge watching, and I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I'll be secretly watching this when Sylvie's napping.
Did you check out the video I sent you?
The video of him as a high school hockey, it's disgusting, Matt. It is so low, this humor. And I laughed many times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't say I didn't warn you. It's disgusting.
But
it's very funny.
I will never admit to a living soul that I liked it. Never. Is the rest of it as good as the high school hockey interaction?
If you thought the high school hockey interaction was funny, you'll like the show. Yeah, that's my...
All right. What else did we get a lot of texts about just during the 7 o'clock news here? Good morning, by the way, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Got a lot of texts as well about Justin Bieber. Not a lot. Got a couple of texts from people saying maybe he has Ramsey Hunt syndrome because he got the COVID vaccine.
Mm.
People who don't want the COVID vaccine just wait for anything, huh? You can walk outside, get hit by a truck. You know, might be related to the COVID vaccine. I don't know. I'd have to ask Dr. Dworkin about it. And I recognize that I didn't ask that when we just had him on because it wasn't top of mind. Although I will admit, I'd read a few articles along the way that COVID-19, the disease, is giving some people shingles, which makes sense. I got a case of shingles once when I had a bad cold. Your immune system is busy fighting. It's depleted. My understanding, Doc, call me back if I'm wrong, is that with this virus, the varicella zoster, it's not the herpes zoster, but it's similar, that causes chicken pox also causes shingles because it never goes away. It's always in your body,
yeah.
But your T cells are constantly killing it, keeping it under control. Your immune system gets busy doing other things, or you just get older and it's weakened, it can come back. So it makes sense that if you're fighting COVID, that it could come back. And there have been some cases of that, mostly in people over 50, though. So maybe it's possible that if your body's immune system is busy reacting to the vaccine, you'd have to have a pretty weakened immune system, though. Because the vaccine doesn't tax your body all that much. That's the point, right? You don't have a full-blown reaction to it, or the vaccine would be as bad as a disease. Anyway, Doc, if I'm wrong about any of those things, you can send me a text or call. Or...
But yeah, nobody ever got shingles before the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
So pump the brakes.
Or Ramsey Hunt syndrome. No, yeah. He's the first in history to get it. It has to be related to the COVID-19 vaccine. If you don't want the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. Just don't come crying to us when you get sick. Maybe you won't even get sick. Doesn't necessarily mean you're right. It's the law of statistics. Is that a law? Statistics. 7:13. Good morning. How are you this morning? So there's a couple of things going on this week we're going to be focused on. Actually, I think for the next few weeks, we're going to be focused on the LRT inquiry. That's going to be fantastic. There's another thing I just heard from someone who works here, actually. I was on TV talking about Alstom, the maker of the trains. They have already started to talk in advance of this inquiry, which officially starts today. But they're saying, look, the city rushed this thing, and the axle problems could be caused by the track, which is really tight. And I was saying, you know, I hear the squealing of those wheels, and I know that that's not right. That just, there's something wrong there. One of our staff members said he still cannot, he uses the LRT. There are some corners or curves that it's on where you can't even talk. It is so loud. How can that not be putting stress on certain parts, especially the wheels, right? That only makes sense. Wheels, axles, anything connected, it's going to put stress on. I'm not surprised by that. I thought that improved it, but I guess they still have a little bit of work to do. Unbelievable. Four of the five major education unions in the province have taken the first step to bargaining for their contracts. They expire on August 31st. So just as our kids are about to go back to school, we could have a labor problem. They filed a notice of intent to bargain, but senior government sources say they won't start until early July. Karen Littlewood, president of the OSSTF, says she's expecting austerity-based proposals from the government, but she's aiming to ensure good working and living conditions for her members.
We'll be looking to have a properly funded education system going forward. We've also been severely restricted by Bill 124 and the inability to bargain anything above 1% as far as collective agreements and wage compensation.
Littlewood says she isn't sure what to expect with this round of bargaining because the budget had very few mentions of education.
It'll be, we're guessing, something quite austerity-based, and we're looking to make sure that we have excellent working conditions and living conditions for our members.
I hope that they could start with a conversation about COVID-19 measures and maybe a little admission from the teachers' unions that, yeah, it's been tough and it's been a lot of work and a lot of kids got sick and took time off and teachers got time off. It's been hard. But maybe the screams of kids dying in the hallways of COVID were a little overblown. Maybe we actually got the kids back to school, even without masks, pretty successfully. That'd be a good starting point. You know that's not going to happen, right? It starts with, we need class sizes down to two. Two kids per teacher, that'd be ideal. 7:16. Oh, and Doug Ford hates kids. Can we begin the negotiations now? 7:16, the Morning Rush.
Something good.
Tell me something good.
Powered by Desjardins Good Spark Grants. Recently, Desjardins awarded $3 million in Desjardins Good Spark Grants to 150 Canadian small business owners.
Tell me something good.
See more at goodsparkgrants.ca.
So we're jumping right in here? Tell me something good.
Jumping right in, yeah. That's new. Right.
I always forget we have Tell Me Something Good on Mondays.
I don't forget, though. I'm going to tell you something.
Well, because, you've got to figure it out. You've got to come up with something good. In a world where bad news is what sells, what buys you clicks and sells newspapers and brings in radio ratings, I know it's not easy to come up with good news.
Yeah, but every once in a while we find one and we want to highlight it every Monday here. This one, you know how I feel about parents who post negative stuff that could be seen as a way to bully their kids online. We talked about one last week that kind of went sideways here. And this one started that way, but then it had a nice ending. So there's a grade six kid in Colorado. He lives near Denver, and they got their yearbook. So I guess that's a thing wherever he goes to school, where you get a grade six yearbook. Then you're off to junior high for grade seven. And all the kids went around the class signing the yearbook, but nobody signed his. And so he just wrote in it. His name was Brody, and he just wrote, "I hope you make some friends," in where every other kid was getting their signed. And the mom took a picture of that, posted it on Facebook. Now that's where I think, hey, mom, that's a bold move, right? You're posting on Facebook that your kid has no friends, but no, all the kids at the local high school, a bunch of kids in grade 11, saw the mom's Facebook page, showed up at the kid's house, and the whole high school class signed Brody's yearbook. So he's going into grade 7 at that school, which goes 7 to 12, and he knows that at least the new senior class for next year, they know who he is. They all signed his yearbook. That was kind of cool.
That is nice. I hope they'll follow through on that, though.
Well, that's the thing. Yes. Come September, we want to see you in Brody's class and helping him out.
Absolutely. Because that is a difficult age.
It really is, right? And you think because no one signed your yearbook that you're done for.
Yeah, kids can turn really fast, though. Like that you find at that age group, the nice kids can quickly turn into monsters. It's brutal. And I remember when I was being bullied about that age, and a lot of people were, people would tell me the same thing. Oh, this should be the best time of your life. Your life is not difficult now. Wait till you grow up and you have a mortgage. No, it's the most difficult time of your life.
Yeah, and it's not even really close. Don't ever say that to a kid that's feeling down at that point, because if you didn't feel despair then, when someone tells you that's the best time of your life, it's going to make it even worse.
Yeah, from grade 7 through about, 11? Terrible. By grade 12, kids are starting to grow up a little bit, but it's brutal. Well, that's a nice story.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just making the kid feel good about himself. And like I said, I was a little worried about mom's Facebook post. It could have went sideways. But no, people are better than that. And the people at the high school gathered around. I should tell you, though, you can get more information on the Good Spark Grant at goodsparkgrants.ca.
Yeah, you definitely should tell us about that.
Yes.
And I appreciate that you did.
What would you do with the money?
Did
we're not
you
business
see this
owners.
Family. Though. That because we're talking about families, it just came back into my mind. This family, it was a CBC story I saw on the weekend. The family wasn't told of a long-term care resident's death for almost a month. 66-year-old woman died in the Mount Hope Center for Long-Term Care. And the article is written in a way that there's a lot of evidence to back up why I should be angry about the fact that they weren't informed, the family wasn't informed for over a month that their loved one had passed away. But I walked away with a very different impression of it, because my question is not, how could you not have been informed of your loved one's death for over a month? My question is, how could you not know of it? Like you got someone you love enough to go to the media and say, this is a terrible thing that happened. You don't check up on them every couple of days.
Yeah.
Listen, life can be complicated. I know a lot of people who've had loved ones go into a home. They have Alzheimer's, and they go, you know, I used to visit every day, but my mother never even knew I was there the day before and didn't recognize me when I got there. And so you start to go, well, do I need to go every day? Maybe it's every couple of days. I'm not helping her. I'm not making her feel happy, and I'm feeling more sad. A friend explained this to me recently. So there may be complicated reasons beyond that. But here's the other thing. The home did try to contact them. All of the contact numbers that they had were out of date. And the family said, well, they could have Googled us. They could have gone to social media and searched us. Really? You're going to be mad at the home now and you didn't even give them an updated phone number when you changed your number? I don't know. I know that it's not the reaction, at least based on the way I saw this article structured. We were supposed to be really angry that this home in Gravenhurst area, I think it is, had dropped the ball. But I didn't see it that way at all. Like, no, the family could have made some minimum effort to keep in touch and leave the proper contact number.
Yeah.
Don't you think they're a little busy in a home like that with the patients to be spending hours on Google trying to track you down when all you had to do was call and say, by the way, I've moved, here's my new number?
Yeah, do you really want a Facebook friend request to tell you your mom died?
Yeah, I'm just not buying it. I'm really not. You do have some responsibility yourself to keep in touch with a loved one that you've put in a home. 728, The Morning Rush. Good morning, I'm Bill Carroll.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. It's not the same as
it was. The connection between Justin Bieber's facial paralysis and the COVID vaccine, just an interesting question to ask for sure. But it's weird that two different listeners also connected it to a blood clot that his wife suffered. They both did. So there you go. I mean, what does that prove? I don't know. My entire family had the vaccine like three and some of us four times and none of us had any issues. What does that prove? Did they get like the special family edition and it caused problems with both of them? Okay. If you got 100% of members of every family had these kinds of crazy side effects and billions of doses have been given out, the hospitals wouldn't be full. They'd be empty. We'd all be dead. Come on now. Sure, it's worth asking the question, is this related to the vaccine? Could also be related to COVID. Could have gotten COVID. The thing with his wife, though, was according to doctors who examined her, they discovered she has a hole in her heart. And that's what can cause the blood clotting, and she's going to be on blood thinners probably for the rest of her life. And they think it's genetic. She's born with a little hole in her heart that no one had seen. So what about COVID and the blood clots it causes? We don't take that into account, but the vaccine may cause it. But will it cause it nearly as often as the disease itself does? Hey, big weekend for golf. We had Adam Stanley, who's a local golf writer, friend of Matt's, so we abuse our connection with him to get him to do this for absolutely no money. We thought we'd be talking to him about the Canadian Open, and we certainly will. But then Brooke Henderson, who's local, you know, Smiths Falls, won another tournament on the weekend. How you doing, Adam?
Well, let's just say yesterday was a pretty busy one.
Yeah, I bet. Brooke Henderson is just outstanding. Is she the best golfer this country has ever produced?
100%. And she's 24 years old. And she's just going to keep building on this legacy from now until she decides to stop playing. I mean, just...
You didn't even pause there. Just
no, because
100%.
It's not up for debate. She's done everything that... that it's required to be known as the greatest golfer that this country has ever produced. She's won 11 times. The next person who has won on the PGA and LPGA tour has won 8 times. And she's basically a threat to win every single time she tees it up, whether it's a major championship, whether it's the Canadian Open, or whether it's just a run-of-the-mill LPGA tour event. And you really can't say that about any other male or female golfer in this country's history.
And it's golf. So she's got, you know, you take a sport like hockey and they say players don't peak on average till 27, 28. With golf, I think it can come even later than that, right? Because as you develop your skills and your ability to read golf courses combined with your natural ability, and golfers can go a long time. So she's not going to get worse.
No, certainly not. The only thing obviously would be, you know, if she has to navigate some injuries and stuff like that, but you know, you're right. The more that she gets settled into the schedule of the LPGA Tour with respect to the golf courses she plays every year and even just the comfort level that she has competing against the best in the world. You know, it takes a couple of years to kind of realize, yeah, I belong here. Yeah, I can do this. You know, 11 wins at 24 years old, three more than anyone else in this country's history on the male or female side, a major championship. She's won the Canadian Women's Open, which of course is coming back to Ottawa later this summer. And, it's just been just a magical run that she's been on to this point. And, you know, like I said, she's got 15, 20, maybe more years of doing this. So we shall see how far she can take it.
I didn't really realize until Friday how great the field was at the Canadian Open until you started to name names, because it's just not starting to watch golf, Adam, more and more. But, you know, it hasn't been a sport that I spent a lot of time watching. But when I look down the names that you gave us, that's actually impressive. And then it seemed like all of the big names were in the competition right up until the end. I got a photo of you here, Adam, interviewing Rory McIlroy, the winner. How does that guy, who's that much smaller than you, hit the ball like he does? It's extraordinary.
I think he's got eight abs, so that I think helps. And
probably,
Well, I wouldn't know. And his legs are about double the size of mine. He has an incredible ability to have this lower body stability and power. Just generates an incredible amount of clubhead speed because of that. I think on one of the holes, either early on in the week or it might have been Sunday, I think he was averaging like 330 yards off the tee and hit a few longer than 370. Bill, I remember you talked about how you were proud to hit it out there 200 at the driving range a couple of days ago. So Rory,
well, I didn't quite. I got close. I got close. It rolled out close to that marker. But that was like one out of 60 shots or something.
Right.
But still, it's a great feeling. But it just makes you marvel at how easy they make it look. It's just...
It does. And I think, to your point about the field strength, it's a marvel that the guys that we talked about, the big names, were all there at the end. I mean, it was Rory McIlroy and it was Justin Thomas who were basically dueling all the way to the 72nd hole. It was an impressive Sunday, to say the least.
And they got to take a couple of shots at this LIV event that was going on the weekend as well.
They did.
How, you know, it was basically a showcase, and there aren't a lot of good golfers. All the great golfers were in Toronto this weekend, and I think that's true. Most of the greats were there.
Certainly the modern greats were all in Toronto, and both Justin Thomas and Rory. It was pretty funny. In Rory's press conference, he was like, you know, I was just so glad to get my 21st win, you know, one more than Norman. And obviously Norman in this case is Greg Norman, who's the commissioner of the new LIV Golf Series. And the fact that Rory came out and was so pointed about his accomplishment, one more than Norman, the fact that he actually said that versus letting us kind of read between the lines and say, I was so excited to get my 21st win, you know, was sure something, kind of a shot across the bow at both Greg Norman and everyone else that was deciding to participate in the LIV Golf Series. So, you know, that narrative, you know, kind of fizzled out as we got into the weekend and people tried to actually win this golf tournament. But certainly Sunday night, it was brought back to the forefront. And what a great champion. Rory is a global superstar.
Yeah, he just seems like a really nice guy. Did you get that feeling being face-to-face with him? He seems endlessly patient and polite and kind.
He is. All of those attributes I would agree with wholeheartedly. And I had met him once or twice before, obviously the 2019 Canadian Open, and I had done something else one-on-one with him a year later. But he remembered me and we had a nice chat, and you know, all the fans were very pro Rory. And he said he relished that. He loved kind of being the guy, and, you know, hopefully he comes back next year and tries to do it all over again.
Sounds like you had a great time. We're all a little envious. How'd the weather hold out for most of it?
It actually worked out really, really well. They adjusted the tee times for Sunday. Usually they just let everyone tee off of number one, but they repaired and they had guys go off number one and number 10, or number nine, excuse me, this week. And the weather radar actually, there was a bunch of storms that were supposed to be coming inbound on Sunday, but they all broke up and it was sunny and it was fabulous.
And a beautiful golf course too.
St. George's, incredible. And it looked really good on TV. I think a lot of the members, they don't really realize what it looks like because they're just out there playing. But a lot of them came up to me and said, wow, we were watching it on television and you know, the golf course looked really good, and not a lot of golf courses do look good on TV for a variety of reasons, but it did, and the players were just heaping the praise on St. George's all week long.
Well, it's surprising because the way it's tucked into a residential neighborhood in Etobicoke, you just don't, you don't imagine that it's going to look that beautiful. You just, you, but it does. It looked like a golf course that could be anywhere, and and you do see the houses a little bit once in a while, but that adds to the charm.
It does, for sure. It's a tight little property, but the guys who play on the PGA Tour week in and week out, they're like, we wish we could play golf courses like this more often, because they just love the kind of old school Parkland style, you know, just kind of a more of a low profile kind of scene. They're used to playing, you know, these massive kind of arena like golf courses where they can jam in as many fans as possible. So it was a nice change for the guys this week.
I could break a lot of windows in a place like
that. Yeah, 100%. You're not alone in that.
Thanks, Adam. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Adam Stanley, local golf writer with a lot of golf to talk about this weekend. And congratulations again to Brooke Henderson, whose family could be listening right now. It's great to have someone from this area who's just as good a golfer as there is in the world right now. The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
Trending today with Matt Harris.
All right, Matt, what's this event that we all watch?
Okay, this is pretty cool that it's coming out tomorrow, but we all watched Jennifer Lopez and Shakira at the Super Bowl halftime show a couple years ago, remember?
Twice.
It was massive. I thought they did an incredible job. I thought it was amazing. Now, there's a new documentary.
One of my favorite halftime shows ever. And neither of those two are artists that I would go home and go, oh, I got to stream Shakira. But, you know, if I hear it and I'm at a party or whatever, her music's cool. Jennifer Lopez, massive talent. But they're great performers, and it was really fun.
It was really great. So here's the thing. J-Lo has a new Netflix documentary coming out tomorrow. It drops, I guess,
really?
Tonight at midnight.
You didn't mention that on binge watching?
Well, I'm mentioning it now because I haven't seen it yet.
Fair enough.
Review for binge watching because it comes out tomorrow morning, and it's called Halftime, interestingly enough. I guess she thinks this is halftime of her career or whatever it is. Now, the Super Bowl halftime show, the trailer was released, and the Super Bowl halftime show is definitely prominent in the halftime. It's mentioned, including in this clip that I grabbed from the trailer. They talk about the halftime show. So we'll just play the clip here, and then I've got some juicy details that have come out since.
I can't do it if you guys keep just pressing us. I'm trying to give you something with substance. Not just us out there shaking our... I want something real.
I censored that a little bit at the end. Shaking our... I didn't want to play the word on morning radio.
Our hips that don't
lie.
Yeah,
the hips don't lie. So there you go. But no, here's something interesting. So it premieres on Netflix tomorrow, but it was at a film festival on Friday. And so somebody who's actually gotten an advanced screening of it wrote that she says playing with Shakira was, quote, a terrible mistake. She says they didn't have enough time to really showcase their music in the halftime show. She says she regrets doing it. It was a disaster. I think it was an insult to think that you needed two Latinas to do the job that historically one could have done. So that adds a whole other dynamic to it. But she just thinks it was, quote, the worst idea in the world.
Really?
And I watched that
thinking...
I don't
think anyone walked away feeling
that way. I remember finishing it going, that was incredible.
It's interesting to see that they teamed them up. In retrospect, why do you have to have two Latinas? Like, do they ever say, we'll have Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger? Two big names. Right. You wouldn't put them together.
But then
I can't say I thought of that at the time, but it's interesting. You could tell, though, even though you're quoting from someone who saw it, and we don't have the soundbite because they didn't release it, obviously. But you could tell, play the clip again that you played from Jennifer Lopez. You can hear, though, that she's not happy. There's a lot of frustration in that.
Yeah, let's play it again.
I can't do it if you guys keep just pressing us. I'm trying to give you something with substance. Not just us out there shaking our... I want something real.
Yeah, she's clearly agitated.
Yeah, and you know what? I can tell you from years of experience that because she's a woman... and she's complaining and she's demanding, she's going to get a negative. That will flash back on her in a negative way. But it shouldn't, because every successful artist, and you know because of my history and music radio in the past and the people I've met and because of my job, the great ones are always demanding.
Of course.
Always. They don't want to look stupid. They don't want to make mistakes. They expect the best from themselves and everyone around them. And they work really hard and they speak their minds. But you watch, it'll come across different because it's a woman. And that's too bad. There's no way that Jennifer Lopez has reached her level of success without being demanding of herself and everyone around her. I love that clip. I love that she cares enough about the audience that she wants to make it great.
And as far as the two women go, the next year was The Weeknd just by himself. Now the year after was Dr. Dre.
Why wasn't
it
The Weeknd and Drake?
Right.
Two Canadians, put them up together. No, it's an interesting point.
So it drops, I guess, at midnight, but it's on Netflix.
Why did she
tomorrow.
Say yes then?
It sounds like even from that one clip that she sort of realized it was a disaster during the prep.
Yeah, but she
for
must
it.
Have known it was going to be co-headlining with Shakira.
I would assume so, yeah.
By the way, I like Shakira as a performer too. Not in Jennifer Lopez's league.
No, but great halftime all around.
But one of my favorite halftime shows ever.
Yeah.
Have they picked next year's?
Not yet, no. We'll probably
know.
Who
I think we should have?
Who?
I have a horse in the race, so I'll admit there's a little bias here. Foo Fighters.
You're on that train?
It's time they got a halftime show. Oh, I'd like to see that.
Good choice.
The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you're a parent, you also may or not be a sharent. Are you guilty of sharenting? Now, guilty makes it sound like a judgment.
Okay.
I think this is a hard call. This is a really hard call. CTV did a piece on this last week based on a UK study, a 2020 UK study. And we've been meaning to get to it for a few days. But I think this is a really interesting challenge. And Matt, you're at a stage now. You got a baby, 18 months old, a toddler, really, who came visit us on the weekend. That was awesome.
She was loving running around your place.
We talked about who was going to get to hold her and who was it, you know, when she arrived, who's going to get to have her first. I thought, well, I don't know how much holding there's going to be. She's 18 months at that age. They just want to run around. Anyway, I looked up and suddenly Sylvie was gone. She'd been watching on the cameras outside to see you turn up so she could run out and grab Daisy before any of us got to her. How long did she hold on to her before she put her down? Got to be an hour.
I was going
to
say, yeah, at least 40 minutes. We were there for a couple hours.
Pretty good she could entertain her that long.
Well, she was bringing candy and goldfish. And
yeah, she was.
Like, it's not like she just sat there. She was being
every
bribed.
Every trick in the book.
She was being
bribed. She bribed her. Bribed her, basically. Anyway, it's a fun stage. My kids are in high school now. So we went through this, and you're going through it now. Sharenting. What is sharenting? It's when you share your family moments and photographs and videos of your kids online.
Oh, my Instagram feed. I'm guilty of this.
And apparently there are potential issues with this. What about the child's right to privacy? Well, you're the decision maker for the child, but they may not appreciate it as much later in life. No one likes that naked bathtub picture that pops up at your wedding.
Yeah.
Nobody likes that. That embarrasses everybody. But identity theft in the future because of facial recognition could be an issue. It is really difficult. There are security concerns too. That's probably for the average person a little bit overblown. If I'm Shakira, because we were just talking about her, do I want to share photos of my kids online taken in front of their school when I pick them up? Probably not, right? So it's a tough thing to navigate to know how far you should go. As a rule, I shared pictures of my kids a little bit more when they were babies because babies all look kind of like babies. Once they got older and they were going to daycare and being dropped off, I made it a point of not doing that anymore. Now I have a more public profile than some people, not Shakira, although these hips, they don't lie either. But, you know, I'm a little bit more public, so I was maybe more careful than I had to be. But then when they really got into their elementary school, their face starts to look like the way they're going to look, like mini versions of the grown-up selves and stuff. I'm just a lot more careful. I post pictures of them hugging at a park, but from behind, that kind of stuff. But I don't know that I see the downside if you've got a Facebook page and it's not open to the public and it's just family and friends. It's a great way to keep people who love you involved in your kids' lives.
That's the way I see it. I mean, our kids' grandparents don't live here, right? So it's a quick, I mean, I guess I could just text it to them.
According to this UK study, the average parent will post 1,500 pictures of their child online before age 5.
1,500.
Study also noted that almost a third of parents surveyed said they never thought to seek a child's permission. Why would I seek my child's permission to post pictures? That part I find absurd. Well, now, our kids are in high school, and they have absolute veto power. My daughter uses it often. You take a picture of her. Are you posting that anywhere? Why? Let me see it. No. No.
Okay.
No.
That's no. Fair, though.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When they're old enough to say they want to say, I think you let them have a say in it. But are we going to ask Daisy? She's 18 months old. Can I have your permission to post this online? That would be ridiculous. Can I send this to Uncle Bill? Don't ever stop sending me videos of her playing soccer at 18 months. Never stop.
Okay, but you bring up soccer. So interesting point. I was at soccer. I think this is just common sense, but I made sure that the pictures I took of her didn't have any of the other kids in there.
Oh, I hadn't noticed that.
Right?
But when you
think that's
it's
just
true.
Fair to them.
Yeah.
Like those
parents
didn't sign up.
Yeah, I was careful with hockey pictures too. But hockey, see, I posted, now that I think of it, I posted probably more Gillian playing hockey videos because he's wearing a mask, like the helmet, the grill, it's distant. You couldn't really, unless he showed up at a public park wearing all of that with the same number on it, then it probably wasn't putting him in much danger. But I hadn't 55% of the parents are the same. They said they hadn't thought about any long-term implications.
No, never crossed my mind.
But identity theft is going to be an issue whether because when they're teenagers, believe me, they're going to post it anyway themselves. It's a bigger issue than when they're kids. 2019 internet safety study from Microsoft found that 42% of 12,500 teenagers, 25 countries, said they were troubled about how much their parents shared it online. 11% saying it was a big problem in their lives as they grow up. So am I going to ask my kids permission or you, Matt? Now, I've got to now because they're young adults. You going to ask their permission? I don't know. But it's worth thinking about how she's going to feel about it later.
Yeah, and I like the idea that you said when she's a bit older, like veto power. I love that idea. I never heard that one. I think that's fantastic.
You don't even have to think about it. They'll tell you.
Yeah. I guess so, right?
Yeah. It's 8:15, the Morning Rush.
News Talk 580 CFRA's $1,000 Minute. Brought to you by Alpine Credits. Homeowners get approved.
All right.
I'm helping the Jiffy guy. You start.
Okay. Chris from Russell is on the line. Morning, Chris. Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Okay, great. Okay, we're going to play the $1,000 Minute. You are probably ready to go, but we'll play the rules just in case here for you.
10 questions a minute, $10 per correct answer. All 10 gives you $1,000. Have to take your first answer. You can say pass. We'll go back if there's time. You got it?
Got it.
You ready
to go? You'll
have
to do them because the questions didn't arrive anyway.
I didn't send them to you?
I don't know.
All right, that's problematic. Let's do this then, Chris. I'll start reading the questions right now. How many people are set to testify at the LRT inquiry?
Pass.
Who is Canada's addictions minister?
Pass.
Who won the Canadian Open?
Pass.
On which date do the contracts expire for 4 Ontario teachers unions?
You just said that too. Pass.
What's the title of the new Jennifer Lopez documentary on Netflix?
Oh, God. Pass.
Which local hospital says it ran out of beds this weekend?
The General.
How many LPGA events has Brooke Henderson won?
Four.
Who was announced on Friday that they've been diagnosed with Ramsey Hunt syndrome?
Justin Bieber.
What's the forecast at high today?
25?
Which band has a reunion in the TV show For All Mankind?
Pass.
How many people are set to testify at the LRT inquiry?
Five.
Okay, this was not good.
I didn't
good.
Know, Matt, if you had time to write down the ones he passed on, although it was pretty easy. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, sorry, the Jiffy guy arrived to do my deck. He needed help carrying something heavy, and I went down, and then now the questions just arrived.
All right, well, we're good. Chris, I'm going to go through it for you, but it's not great. I'm just going to warn you.
Not pretty.
Yeah, but anyway, how many people are set to testify at the LRT inquiry? You said five. No, 41. Who is Canada's addiction minister? To be fair, we didn't know we had one either before the show today. It's Carolyn Bennett. Who won the Canadian Open this weekend? You passed on that one. Rory McIlroy. Which date do contracts expire for four Ontario teachers unions? We're looking for August 31st. What's the title of the new Jennifer Lopez documentary on Netflix? You passed again. Halftime. Which local hospital says it ran out of beds this weekend? You said the General.
There aren't that many. Took
no.
a shot.
Chio. How many LPGA events has Brooke Henderson won? I think you said five. I forgot to write it down, but I know you did not say 11 because that was the right answer.
You said four.
Who announced on Friday has been diagnosed with Ramsey Hunt syndrome? It's you said Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
there he is. He's on the board. What's the forecast
to
high today? You said 25. It's 23. And which band has a reunion on the TV show For All Mankind? It's an alternate reality where the Beatles are still together and had a reunion. Chris, you got yourself $10.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Hey, listen, you jumped in at the last minute to help us out when we didn't have 15 people, so we appreciate it. Buy yourself a drop of gas with the winnings.
Yeah, that won't get you much.
A thimbleful of gas with the winnings. Luckily, the TV show For All Mankind only talks about the Beatles reunion as part of a kind of a news collage catch-up between season two and three.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to see them try to do a fake Beatles reunion.
You don't want to see like fake Ringo and fake John? And
no. Real Paul would want to be in there. And he'd look 30 years older than the rest. Starts to look like his own grandmother. It's an awkward age.
Yeah.
With Paul McCartney. If you haven't seen him live, though, and you ever get a chance, still do.
The guy's a legend.
Well.
I've never seen him. I think I'm running out of opportunities here.
I saw him when it was still called Sky Dome in Toronto. Got to meet him, talk to him backstage afterwards, interview him. Well, ask some questions. It was sort of a group interview. Got an autograph that day. You've probably seen it. Probably showed you my Paul McCartney autograph. Anyway, really nice guy, but he walks into the room and you think, he's real. Like, he seems made up. He's so famous.
Well, he's the most famous person in the world. I think it's fair to say that.
Yeah. But he had this guitarist who looked a bit like John Lennon. He was from the Pretenders. So when Paul's up there standing next to him playing his left-handed bass and the guitarist standing looking a bit like John Lennon, it was as close to the Beatles as I would ever get. It was pretty awesome. Don't know why he let Linda sing, but, you know, who can judge love? It's 8:29. It's the Morning Rush. Binge-watching ideas coming up next. The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
On News Talk 580 CFRA.
All right, Bill, I'm not a doctor, but it's plain to see this is caused by the vax, Justin Bieber's paralysis. Remember his wife had a stroke? Andre in Stittsville. Because his wife had a stroke, that means that it had to be the vaccine that caused his facial paralysis. I'm not sure I get the link there. It appears, according to her doctors, that her stroke wasn't even really fully a stroke, but was caused by a hole in her heart, which is likely to be genetic. And caused by the vaccine? I think I said, I didn't ask Dr. Dworkin about it at the time because I think it's one of a million tiny possibilities that were sort of included because the doc said it could be because your immune system is challenged or deficient. I imagine a vaccine could possibly do that. And I said that very clearly when Dr. Dworkin left the show. We got our first text about it. But you know, it's sure, I guess. It could have been caused by maybe he smoked a joint. I don't know. What he drank water. I mean, he did a lot of things. How can you know which one's connected? But yeah, there's some common sense there would say you challenge your immune system with a vaccine. Did that bring it out? Perhaps. But so does COVID, by the way, at much greater rates from what I can see. Convince me Justin Bieber's illness isn't a side effect of the vaccine. Don't have to. You're the one that would have to convince us that it is a side effect of the vaccine. Convince me it's not a side effect of eating ice cubes. I guess if I was pushing mandatory vaccines for the past 2 years, I wouldn't bring up the possible relationship between jabs and shingles either, except that I did bring up the possible relationship. Just seems really small to me. The language of seeking permission, this is about your kids and putting them online, is very purposeful, Bill. Stems from the progressive ideology of empowering impressionable children to vote, make decisions for themselves, such as becoming transgender and other medical procedures. Notice how they refer to them as young people instead of children now. Language is very purposeful on the left, and I'm glad you dismissed the idea of young kids making decisions. Alain. I'm guilty of sharenting, but I've always made a point to never write their names or tag them. I've always been concerned about them being able to Google themselves in the future. Okay, interesting point. Two Latinas, halftime performances have had more than one performer all the time. Why is it about race? Lopez is probably just bitter that Shakira has way more of a cult following than she ever will. Same LA. if it's a cult following, it's because it's not big by definition, right? Smaller. I don't know, maybe in the Latin world, Shakira has a bigger following, but I think Jennifer Lopez is famous enough. I don't think she has much room to be jealous of. I would say she's probably had more success and fame than Shakira.
Oh, movies, definitely. Definitely.
Albums, American Idol, all those things she's done, right? I don't know. That's. Is it true? Last year's halftime show had a lot of different performers.
Yes. But when J-Lo and Shakira did it in 2020, they were the first co-headliners since 2004. I went back and looked it up.
Oh, and who was it in 2004?
Remember the Janet Jackson thing?
Oh, yes.
Janet Jackson, yeah. Justin Timberlake, Kid Rock. There were a bunch of them that year. And then
that
they
was the best halftime show.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so the first since 2004. I just said it was interesting. I hadn't thought of it. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing that that's an issue, but it was kind of interesting. Any others I missed out here?
Yeah, there's a second page if you scroll down.
A whole second page. Shorzy is amazing. Here's another one. You nailed it with Shorzy. Absolutely hilarious, but not going to be a classic. Bill will love it. Sylvie, probably not. My wife saw about 50 minutes. That was enough. I couldn't stop laughing. Cheers, John in Pembroke.
It's so dumb, but I laughed the whole time.
I was a smoker a long time ago. Individual warnings won't change anything. If you want to smoke, you're going to smoke, Steve. Mike from Rockland. It's a stupid waste of money. Still talking about individual messages on cigarettes? Yeah, as long as it's not my money, I don't care. Teenagers nowadays don't smoke cigarettes. They vape. Julie from Eastern Ontario. That was my point. Although that sometimes leads to cigarette smoking because it's cheaper. LRT, remember the question about accepting delivery by September before all the tests were completed and successful? There's enough blame for all concerned, especially city's procurement department. Also remember, winters can be minus 40. Angela. Yeah, and they didn't even get the number of days in a row. Remember, was it 15 days in a row they wanted a perfect? It's like, well, we've got 15 days combined. Isn't that the same thing? No, this was your standard. Had the same response as you, Bill, about that long-term care article. Yeah, were the families mad because it took them a month to inform them that their loved one was dead? Really? You didn't think to ask before? Hey, how's mom doing? Anybody? Listen, whatever is going on in your life, I'm not going to judge, but don't go public when you're vulnerable. And shame on the CBC to not even deal with the obvious question, right? Why didn't you give them updated phone numbers so they could contact you? Couldn't they Google me? Seriously? And I'm supposed to be sympathetic? You're right, Bill. I'm a smoker. It won't make a difference. It seems like a move by the government to make it look like they're doing something. Brandon. That's it. I read them all. Matt, thank you for today. Awesome. Who was in the other room today?
Bunda's on the board. Connor's still kind of there.
I thought I saw Connor floating around. That's why I was confused.
He was in the background.
Okay. Thank you, Bunda. Thank you for Connor, whatever it is you were doing in there. We appreciate that too.
It's his last day, he says. Connor.
Okay.
Well, thanks for filling in. You were great.
Oh, we're taking the training wheels off Bunda?
That's it. Bunda's going to be a little rickety there. He might fall off his bike, but.
Oh, no. It may be when you let go of that back the seat, your hand off, he just flies and never comes back.
There you go.
That is, you haven't experienced it yet, one of the greatest moments in a parent's life.
Oh, I bet.
When your kid's nervous and they're wobbly and you're running behind them and you let them go and they don't even realize. Then after about, they wobble more, but they realize they're on their own. And then, pew, gone. They don't come back for 2 hours.
Very cool.
It's fantastic. And then they ask for the car keys. And it seems like 5 minutes later. This has been The Morning Rush. I'm Bill Carroll. We got to do our wheel.
Oh, yeah, we do. Let's do it.
Wheel of hosts. Who will be joining us next? Who will fill in the 9 to noon slot? It is...
Patricia Bowl.
Yeah! All right, that's like the grand prize. Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.